Turn with me now to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians 4. I'd like for us to look at four verses of Scripture that have five exhortations in them. Four verses here that have five exhortations. It's verses 2 through 5. Colossians 4, verse 2 says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time." I want to say just a little bit about each one of those exhortations, and then I'd like to close this message by telling you something. All right, let me just go down the list here, and then let me close by telling us all something. The first exhortation Paul gave in verse 2 is, he said, continue in prayer. Continue in prayer. Continue in prayer. How often do you think it is that we forget to pray? Does that convict anybody else? How often is it really, do you think it is, that we forget to pray? Do you ever come to yourself and all of a sudden ask yourself, when was the last time I really prayed? Really? You ever get well into your day and realize, I have not even prayed to my Lord? Do you ever do that? To my shame, sometimes I get up in the morning and get ready, and we got to get the kids to school, and we got to get ready for everything that's going to happen after school, and we drop the kids off, and I get to my study, and I'm under the gun, and I'm reading and searching and studying and looking, and nothing's happening. And then I realize I'm searching for a message from my Lord, and I haven't even asked Him to give me one. That happens to me all the time. Our Lord said, you have not because you ask not. I think about God's sovereignty in all things. What do I need to pray for? God is sovereign in all things. What do I need to worry about? None of God's people are going to be lost. Why bother? Because He said to. He said, you have not because you ask not. He said, ask and it'll be given to you. He said, I'm going to do all these things for my people, but they're going to ask me for it. They're going to say, please. Seek, you'll find. Knock, it will be opened. We need the reminder and the instruction of the Word. We come into a worship service like this, and we have thing after thing after thing that we say, oh yeah, we ought to know this. But we all fall into it. I know that we do. Turn with me over to Luke 18. Luke 18. Verse 1 says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Shall he find a fervent, continual begging? You know, we just looked at that woman who came to the Lord over her daughter crying out for mercy, and she kept coming and came to the disciples, and they said, send her away. She's crying after us. She just keeps crying and crying and crying. And the Lord said, great is your faith. Be it unto you. When the Lord returns, he said, shall he find a fervent, continual crying out to God? To take the thought of prayer, our prayer, one step further, do you ever find yourself asking, when was the last time I fervently, deeply, from the depths of my soul, from the knees of my heart, the closet of my heart, when was the last time I poured out my desperation to him? How long now have I just been giving him lip service? How long now have I just been doing that? Just going through the motions, repeating the same old things, not feeling a spirit connection with him. Can we enter into any of that? We fall so short. Everything we do is so insufficient. It is so pitiful. But for our comfort, listen to this. For our comfort, listen to this. See if this doesn't bring absolute relief to you. The Lamb of God said, Father, I pray for them. I pray for them. I pray for them. I pray for them. The Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, because we know not what we should pray for as we ought. That's what the Word says, and it says it rightly. Because we know not what we should pray for as we ought, He prays for us with groanings that could never be uttered by us. He prays for us on our behalf. We don't even, you know, we pray for the things we need. We don't even know what we have need of. Everything that we ought to do but just can't and fall short of, Christ our Savior has done it for us. Everything. That is so relieving. Isn't that so relaxing? Everything. Doesn't that make you want to cry out to Him in thanksgiving? Turn over to Psalm 103. Last Sunday morning, I asked a brother to read Psalm 103 for us. Verse 1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Now watch this. Verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of men. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. He dealt with Christ after our sins. Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. He rewarded us according to Christ's righteousness. Look at verse 17. It says, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them." Hold on. Wait a minute. I have to keep His covenant? There's a condition put on this? If all of those wonderful things we just read right there, if all of those things are going to apply to me, then I'm going to have to keep His covenant? And I'm going to have to do His commandments? I haven't done either one of those things. I can't do either one of those things. Is that really a condition on this? Here's the answer. Yes. If God says so, the answer is yes. The only way that can come to us is if we keep His covenant and do His commandments. And I'm correct. I have not done them. And you haven't done them either. But Christ did. The Lord Jesus Christ did. And He is our substitute. Everything that God has required of us, Christ has accomplished for us. Remember this. This will be a big help to you. This has been and is a big help to me. It still is. Every time a promise of God is attached to an if, every time you'll see these promises, if you keep the faith, if you this, if you that, every time you see the promise of God attached to an if, remember and rejoice in the fact that Christ our substitute accomplished every if for us. Every one of them. He was the justified one who walked this earth, the only justified one before God the Father. And everything that He was justified in, He gave it to us. Everything He was justified, He kept the faith. He kept the covenant. He did the commandments. Everything He was justified in, He gave it to us. And everything we were condemned in, He took for His own. Doesn't that make you want to cry out in thanksgiving? That's the second exhortation of our text. Go back to Colossians 4. Everything else will move faster. Colossians 4, verse 2 says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." Oh, how necessary the exhortation is for us to give thanks. We need to be reminded of that every time we come in here. So necessary. We have everything to give thanks for. That ought to be the primary focus of all of our prayer. I think about that as I pray. As I'm praying, I think, "Lord, I wish I wasn't asking for so many things. I wish I was giving You more thanks, but I can't help it. I just keep asking." Thankfully, He said I could. But thankfulness ought to be the primary focus of our prayer. Just two pages over, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, it says, "Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing." You say, I don't do that. Well, Christ did, and He's our substitute. Verse 18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Oh, give thanks. Because everything God has demanded of us, Christ has obeyed. He became the servant of it. He was obedient to it. All the demands, all the condemnations, everything that God has demanded of us, Christ has obeyed. Everything we deserve to be punished for, Christ has satisfied. Everything in this world and in the world to come that we need, Christ has supplied. In everything, give thanks. Everything. Pray without ceasing, giving thanks in all. May the Lord teach us to do that, really. Go back to Colossians 4. Verse 2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. He was in prison for preaching the gospel. Verse 4, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. What Paul is saying is, pray for me that I may learn what it is to truly preach Christ. That's what he's saying. And he says, not just me, us. Pray for us. Pray for us, all who preach, all who witness. In any way, shape, or form. Verse 3, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. There are so many things that I think all the time, I need to add that to my prayer. I need to be praying for that. I need to be praying for people. I need to be praying for these different things. And I need to be praying that God would open a door of opportunity. Our Lord said, ask and you'll receive. Do you realize what a good thing that would be to pray for? Lord, would you open a door of utterance, a door of opportunity, first of all, and give us the right words to say in that opportunity? Don't you feel like a stumbling fool every time somebody asks you, what does sovereign grace mean? What do you preach? What do y'all believe? I do. I can declare it in a message, but whenever I'm confronted, I just, Lord, give us a door of utterance. Open a door for us and give us the right words to say in that moment. Verse 3, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, that I might be able to set it forth plainly and clearly as it ought to be set forth. The mystery, the mysterious declaration, the scripture says, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. The mystery of the Lord Jesus Christ, the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of godliness. What is it? Turn over to 1 Timothy 3. Again, just a few pages to 1 Timothy 3. Verse 16 says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Here it is. God was manifest in the flesh. That was not known. That was hid from ages and generations of people. All those Old Testament prophets, they were prophesying of the fact. I'm quite positive many of them did not understand much of what they wrote. A virgin is going to conceive and bear a son. You're going to call his name Emmanuel. What they were saying is, God is coming. God is going to come down in flesh. God revealed himself in the flesh of a man. God made himself to be known in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. justified in the Spirit. He was the only one who walked this earth never in the sinfulness of the flesh. He knew nothing of the sinfulness that we know in the flesh, in the walk. He only walked in the holiness of the Spirit. By the substitution for our sins, he was touched with every single feeling of our infirmities. But he was justified in everything that he did, every step he took before God his Father. Verse 16 says, it goes on to say, he was seen of angels in the Garden of Gethsemane when they ministered to him. On the cross of Calvary when he gave up the ghost. In the resurrection of his tomb when they were given the commandment to roll the stone away from the door. Everything about the saving accomplishment of his death, the scripture says the angels desire to look into it. The wonder of it, the amazement of it, we do too. Verse 16 says, he was preached unto the Gentiles, this mystery of Christ, this mystery of the gospel, this mystery of godliness. Number one, what a mystery that God would use the foolishness of preaching to save his people. He was preached to the Gentiles. What a mystery that God would use this method to reveal himself to his people. But number two, what a mystery of mercy and grace that God would show his kindness to such enemies as we are. Heathen. Gentiles in the flesh. He was preached to the Gentiles, the enemy, the heathen. Thank God he did. And thank God through that preaching of the cross, every soul he chose to save was given faith. And verse 16 says he was believed on in the world and received up into glory. He was received up into glory, and all who believe on him have been and will be received up with him. Paul said, pray for us that God might give us the ability to set that forth every time we stand up. Pray for us. Woe be unto us if we don't declare the gospel of the accomplishment of Christ every time we stand up. What he did for us every time we stand up. Go with me back to Colossians 4. The fourth exhortation is in verse 5. It says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. The word walk means live. Wisdom is Christ. Toward means as you go. Them that are without means the way of man. So this is what it says. Live in Christ as you go the way of man. I'm going to give you the last one here and then I'll talk about these together. The end of verse 5 says, redeeming the time, buying the time, making sacred use of this moment. With everything that's just been exhorted, let me close this message by telling us something that has been fervently laid on my heart. It has been before, it is now. We're here because these were the next verses in line. We were just in verse 1 Sunday morning. But this has been fervently on my heart, and it just so happens that these were the next verses in line. And I'd love to have the ability to really convey this. Our Lord has been so good to us. He has been. He's given us His Word. He's given us the gospel. He's given us His Son, the blood of His Son. He's been so good to us. He has given us a ministry. Now, I know this is not understood by the world because there are churches everywhere. But ministries, true ministries of God, are rare. They are rare. And we definitely take it for granted, but it has just really hit me what it means and what it is that he has given us a ministry. The Lord can give and the Lord can take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But he has given us a ministry right here, right now. Brother Tony tells the story of how he and Dwight and Chris used to pray that God would raise up a ministry here. Years ago, I had a desire in me. I used to wonder, is God going to make this desire in me to preach grow? I had a desire in me to preach 8 years before I ever got the opportunity to do it. I believe I was wisely advised, tell nobody. Don't go around promoting yourself. If God wants to use you, he will use you. And we don't need to go around telling everybody, I want to be a preacher and I want to be a pastor. Don't do it. This is God's work and it's God's business, and he'll lay hold of who he wants to lay hold of, and he'll use who he wants to use. But it was eating a hole inside of me for years, and I told no one. I played it off like I, you know. But anyway, this month we're celebrating 10 years together. After the 6 years of tilling the ground that Brother Tom Harding faithfully labored in. He came in this field here and he started tilling the ground. And he tilled and he tilled and he tilled. He'd come down here and he'd till the ground. And then the Lord planted the seed of a ministry. And through the watering of his word, this is what we're doing right now. Watering, watering, watering. Through the watering of his word, by the sunlight of his countenance, and his blessing and his grace, he is causing what he has done to grow. I don't speak arrogantly or presumptuously. I'm just stating what I see. I feel so blessed to be a part of this. I cannot describe to you how blessed I feel to be a part of it. The exhortation that I desperately want to give to myself and to every member here is, as we walk, as we live the rest of our life in the way that man lives life on this earth, let's walk it and live it in Christ. Let's redeem this moment. Let's buy this moment. I want to tell every member of this congregation this. Let's buy the truth and sell it not. Let's beg God to keep the evil days away from us when we would say, I no longer have pleasure in any of those things. I have seen it happen time and time again. Hang around long enough and you'll see it happen time and time again. And I'm no more capable. I can't keep myself. None of us can keep ourselves. And we are going to see men and women who we love dearly sit in these pews, open this word, say amen, and then where are they? And what I'm saying is, let's beg God. Brethren, pray for us. I'm not saying pray that God would keep all the troublemakers out. What I'm saying is pray that God would keep me from becoming a troublemaker. And pray that God would keep us in our fervent begging to the Lord, let's ask ourselves, how long has it been since I fervently prayed to God and begged Him to make Christ to always be the preeminent one in my life? That means first. First. We have families here in our 20s, our 30s, our 40s, our 50s who have young children. Let's not let our kids' sports or our kids' school activities or our kids' anything take priority over Christ. Let's not do it. It's not worth it. Buy this. Let's not let trying to get ahead in life, and let's not let trying to build up a retirement take priority to worshiping Christ. I'm speaking pretty candidly with you right now. A lot of times I would tell you I was talking to a fellow pastor. I'll go ahead and tell you it was my dad. I was talking to my dad on the phone, and I just had eaten up over this. Just eaten up. And I told Dad, I don't know why I worry about it so much, because none are going to be lost. We're not going to keep ourselves. God is sovereign. And I told him, why is it that it just pains me? And he said, it's because that's the position you've been called to. The Apostle Paul said, my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. He made a statement, I can't say. But it just pains me. And I'm speaking to myself first. It's not worth it. Let's take this upon ourselves. Let's take this upon our children. There are a million jobs out there. There's one Lord. There's one salvation. There's one eternity. May the Lord keep us from ever losing what He's given us. May the Lord keep us from not teaching our children the importance of this fervent heart. Kids, we need a fervent heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. If we neglect to beg the Lord concerning these matters, this is what will happen. This is what will happen. If we neglect, the Lord has called some brethren, and here we are. Here we are. And if the Lord does not produce, if the Lord does not work, if the Lord does not cause, if the Lord does not do, He gets all the glory, not unto us. But if He doesn't do this in us and create this begging, fervent cry of ask and you'll receive, then this is what will happen. The 30 and 40 year olds will become 60 and 70 year olds. And by God's grace, I pray, will remain the fervent heart of the ministry as we are right now. The ones who are here, the ones who you can count on. And then our children, who will then be the 30 and 40 year olds. If we let life take us away from Christ and the priority of Christ, and we don't instill in them what is the only thing that matters, if we show them, well, this can be more important, then this is what will happen. They will become the 30 and 40 year olds who are all consumed with their children, our grandchildren. And they will have no heart for these things. And everything else will take the place of importance. And they'll move on, and this ministry will be over. And I'm not ready for that. I'm just not ready for that. Generation upon generation upon generation. Brethren, pray for us. Pray for us. I'm begging, as the Apostle Paul exhorted here, pray for us. May the Lord give us the ability to walk in His wisdom. That's what Paul's exhorting. Walk in His wisdom right now. Redeeming this time right now. By this time right now. Let's invest our all into what God has done for us right now. We're in a good time. We're in a good place in time. Let's continue in prayer fervently, pressingly, not taking this lightly, not taking this frivolously, flippantly. Let's put all importance on this because this is what God has given to us. Let's beg the Lord to keep us right here, all huddled up around Christ. This is where we are, just huddled up around the Lord Jesus Christ. Little ones, come on. Get in here too. If He would do that for us, I'm telling you, we would be the most blessed people on this earth. Lord, keep us near Christ. I pray so. I do. I pray so. Let's all continue to pray so. And may He hear our prayer. All right, let's all stand together.